So you may be wondering, okay, Steve, as a CFO, what do you focus on? The answer is I like to focus on operating working capital instead of just plain old working capital. This is BYFIQ. Wealth and success come from understanding how finance works in business, and together we'll explore the most important topics to 10x your financial results. My hope is that we can work together soon. Please share and enjoy. Next episode, we're going to be talking about my favorite topic of all, which includes free cash flow. But in order to have a productive conversation when we get there, we need to do a little bit of prep work. And that's why today, in this episode, we're going to be talking about working capital. Now, look, when I'm working with organizations, this is probably one of the most confusing topics for business leaders when we try to compute free cash flow. So I'm going to break it down really simply. I'm going to state things over and over again so you can understand it from different angles, but I want to empower you. So when you're done listening to this episode, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I feel so much smarter, so much more equipped to join in on conversations relating to working capital. Because here's the deal. Working capital can bankrupt a business. It's this like hidden little monster on the balance sheet. And if you don't pay close attention to it, you can definitely grow yourself out of business really quickly, or you can run out of cash unexpectedly. So obviously I don't want that to happen to you. So let's go ahead and dive in. Now, if you want a supplementary episode which explains this in a lot more detail, be sure to check out episode 6 on Boosting Your Financial IQ. It's called How Understanding Working Capital Can Save Your Business. It's a true gem, and when you combine it with this episode, it's really going to deepen your understanding on this topic. Okay, are you ready? Are you excited? Are you all pumped up because we're about to jump into working capital? Are you running on the treadmill faster because I got your adrenaline going because we're talking about nerdy things in finance? Are you busting out that extra set on the bench press? Are you waving your arms up in the air? Are you standing up in your place going crazy because we're about to jump into working capital? I wish I could see you. I wish I could see what you're doing right now. All I know is that people reach out to me all the time and they're like, hey, Steve, I love your podcast. I listen to it every time I go to the gym. And I'm like, that is so cool. Like, I love that people listen to the podcast on the go. Now, if you're driving, don't get all crazy. Don't be pushing on the accelerator, going down the highway, switching forward lanes, top down, screaming out money ain't a thing. Okay, don't be doing that. All right, but all seriousness, I wish I could see what you're doing. I love that you tune into this podcast. So let's go ahead and jump into the exciting topic of working capital. It actually is exciting because when you understand this, it makes you so much more empowered in business. Because when you know how to compute free cash flow, and you can understand the mechanics of free cash flow, which we'll get into in next episode, then you'll know the drivers of business, of value creation, which is really cool. Okay, working capital in its most general sense refers to the difference between a company's current assets and current liabilities, noting that the word current just means due and payable within a given year. It represents the amount of capital that is available to finance the day-to-day operations of a business. The formula for calculating working capital is current assets minus current liabilities. Working capital measures a company's short-term financial health and its ability to meet its short-term obligations as they come due. It reflects the liquidity position of the company and provides insight into its operational efficiency and financial management. And that's why we just look at current assets and current liabilities, because we want to understand what's due and payable in that 12-month timeframe. So that is just the generic definition of working capital, current assets minus current liabilities. If you go to a company's balance sheet, you'll find current assets and current liabilities there. You just take the difference between the two and bam, you have working capital. Now, when you're trying to compute free cash flow, you want to look at the change in working capital. So you have to measure the change from one period to the next. You can't just go to the balance sheet and take current assets minus current liabilities, because that just gives you working capital for that period. Instead, you have to pull a balance sheet, say for the previous month compared to the current month, and then look at the change period over period between those two working capital calculations. Now, here's another nuance that's important to understand. There's working capital, and then there's operating working capital. Operating working capital is a subset of working capital that specifically focuses on the components of current assets and current liabilities that are directly related to a company's core operations. In other words, it excludes items that are not directly tied to the day-to-day activities of the business. Operating working capital typically includes cash and cash equivalents, but only the amount of cash that is required to sustain normal operations. More on that here in a minute. So you have cash and cash equivalents, accounts receivable, and inventory. Operating working capital excludes items such as short-term investments, non-operating assets, short-term debt unrelated to operations. So by focusing on operating working capital, you can gain a clear understanding of the liquidity position of a company's core operations and its ability to sustain its day-to-day activities without relying on non-operational assets or financing sources. So you may be wondering, okay, Steve, as a CFO, what do you focus on? The answer is, I like to focus on operating working capital instead of just plain old working capital. Now, let me explain why. Let's go back to cash. Remember, I said you only want to include the amount of cash that is required to sustain normal operations. Well, then it begs the question, how much cash is that? What I like to do in an organization, and this varies from company to company, but let's just say the standard for a particular company is to have 6 months of cash to cover operating expenses. Then I would go to the income statement. I would look at OPEX, operating expenses, also known as overhead, or SG&A, selling, general, and administrative expenses. I'd look at that total for 1 month. I'd find the average over the last quarter or last 6 months or the trailing 12 months. And then I'd just multiply that by six, and that would be my required cash balance in the company. The reason why I bring this up is because sometimes when I'm working with organizations, they have a lot of cash. They're sitting on excess cash. And if you include that in the operating working capital calculation, it's going to skew the numbers. Because, like I said, I just want to figure out how much working capital is required to sustain normal operations. And when you're sitting on a ton of extra cash, what that tells me is that the company is either being prudent, they don't have alternative investments in mind, or they're not reinvesting back in the company. So the long short of it is that I just exclude excess cash. All right, so is this making sense to you? It's basically current assets minus current liabilities, take out the excess cash, and then you have working capital for a period. Then you're going to compute working capital for the following period or a prior period, take the difference between the two, and that's where you'll find your change in working capital. Now, let me provide you with some examples here to make this even more clear. You may be wondering, okay, Steve, what's the point of taking the difference between current assets and current liabilities? How does that even relate to cash? Let me explain. For most organizations, under current assets, you'll have operating cash, inventory, accounts receivable, prepaids, and just other current assets that can be converted into cash in that 12-month period. Let's take accounts receivable and do an example on this because this combined with inventory is typically the biggest balance under current assets. Let's say you're a service company and you provide electrical services to other businesses. You go out there and you perform some work. Let's say you hang some lights, you do some work on the panels, maybe you install some outlets, and then you go to send them a bill. You're not just going to go to the representative of the company and say, "Hey, here's my invoice for the work I just completed. Can I get a check now?" No, instead, you're going to say, "Hey, I'll bill you for this work and you can pay me in 30 days." All right, so then you go back to your office after the work is performed, you send them an invoice. So you record revenue on your income statement. It's a credit to revenue. And then the opposite side of the transaction is going to be a debit to accounts receivable. So your accounts receivable balance goes up because they owe you money. You have a bigger balance with this customer. All right, so now this money is trapped in accounts receivable. On the income statement, you record revenue. Remember, you go perform the work, it's recorded on the income statement on the top line, which then trickles down to profit. So you may look at your income statement and say, "Yeah, I have profit," but you haven't yet collected the cash from the customer because you're waiting for them to pay you in 30 days. So that's accounts receivable. Now let's talk about it in the context of working capital. Imagine with me, you have $1,000 in accounts receivable in 1 month. And then in the next month, you go do more work and you go bill more customers and it grows to $2,000. Now your accounts receivable balance went up by $1,000. So let me ask you this, do you have more cash or less cash in the current month? If you said you have less cash, you're right. Because think about it, your accounts receivable balance grew by $1,000, which means you went and performed more work, which is being recorded on the income statement, but you don't have that cash yet. In fact, you have $1,000 of less cash because the accounts receivable balance continues to grow. So this is a really important concept to understand. When current assets increase, it means you're going to have less cash. Let me tie this example back to inventory. The same thing is true. Let's say you have $1,000 in inventory, and then you go out there and you buy a bunch of raw materials that go into inventory, and you spend $5,000. Well, inventory increases by $5,000, which means you have a $5,000 cash outflow that's not hitting the income statement, and therefore it's not a part of profit. And this is where business leaders get in trouble, because if they're just paying attention to the income statement and they think profit equals cash flow, they can be entirely wrong in this area. That's why working capital is so critical to understand, because there is true capital that is tied up on the balance sheet that is not represented in your profit number on the income statement. And this can skew your entire judgment of your organization's financial health. So you don't want to do that. All right, let's switch over to current liabilities. And let's just focus on accounts payable, because usually that's the biggest current liability of a company. There may be some other accruals and other liabilities related to payroll and whatnot, but we'll just focus on accounts payable, or in other words, the amount of money you owe your trade vendors in your business. What we don't want to include in current liabilities in the working capital calculation is interest-bearing debt, long-term interest-bearing debt. So instead, we're just going to focus on the liabilities that are due and payable within the given year, the current liabilities. All right, so focusing on accounts payable, the amount of money you owe your trade vendors. Let's say you go and buy materials from your vendor. They're going to say, here, you can walk out of the store today with these materials and we'll give you 30 days to pay us back. So for the electrical company, they get the wire, they get the piping, they get the light fixtures right now here today. They record those expenses on the income statement because they're trying to match the same period that their revenue is hitting. So they go perform the work, revenue is recorded, the expenses are recorded as well on the income statement, and profit is therefore calculated. But remember, profit doesn't equal cash, because your accounts payable balance continues to climb until you pay that amount down. So in other words, what I'm saying is that as accounts payable increases, it means you're going to have more cash because you're sitting on your vendor's money because you haven't paid them back for the materials that you went and picked up. Does that make sense? So let me step back here. With current assets, when current assets increase, it means you're going to have less cash because customers owe you more money, or you have more money tied up in things like inventory or prepaid, etc. With accounts liability on the other side of the equation, when those current liability account balances climb, it means you're going to have more cash because you haven't paid the liability. And that's how all this comes together. You're essentially just taking the difference from one period to the next as it relates to your current assets and your current liabilities. You combine it all together. And if you go to the statement of cash flows, you'll see this section up top in operating activities. It'll show you all the changes in cash related to working capital. Working capital is so critical. Why do people often ignore it? It's because the statement of cash flows is not included in most organizations' financial review process. Instead, companies build budgets and forecasts only based on the income statement. They review these budgets and forecasts on a monthly basis to evaluate performance, but it pretty much stops at the income statement. They don't bring in the balance sheet. Or if they do, they're bringing in the balance sheet, but they're not bringing in the statement of cash flows. And that's really the most important financial statement that you need to know in business, because that will tell you how much net income the company has. It'll show you the changes in working capital. It'll provide you with a snapshot of investing and financing activities to get you down to the change in cash. And that's really what you need to be paying attention to in a business, not profit. Because as I've illustrated in this episode, profit does not equal cash. Working capital is the amount of capital tied up on the balance sheet that may be represented on the income statement in some form or fashion, but it can really skew things if you don't understand these ebbs and flows. Let me give you one quick example and then we'll wrap. We'll be done. I'm not going to wrap for you, but we'll wrap it up. We'll be done and we'll conclude here. Here's the example. I was working with a company years ago. They maintained an average monthly balance in accounts receivable of $3 million. Well, the CEO was ambitious. He put together a great strategy. The company went out there and they grew based on the strategy. But the thing that was lacking was the financial side of the strategy. And that's why I'm so passionate about integrating strategy and finance together. Nonetheless, the organization grew by 3x, but guess what? So did their accounts receivable. So they went from a $3 million average monthly balance to $9 million. And if you just take the difference between those two amounts, $3 million and $9 million, it means that $6 million of additional accounts receivable or cash was tied up on the balance sheet. And the company nearly failed. That's why paying attention to working capital is so critical. Because if you grow your business too quickly, and if you don't have the capital sufficient to cover your working capital needs, you can be in a lot of trouble. All right, I'll end there. I just wanted to tee things up for our next episode when we get into free cash flow. If you haven't listened to the episode before this one, where I talk about CapEx, capital expenditures, make sure you do that. Because when we get into free cash flow, I'm going to be taking you below profit through depreciation and amortization and changes in working capital, and also CapEx to arrive at free cash flow. So I want you to understand the foundational aspect of each of these terms so you're well prepared for a very fruitful conversation. All right, in the meantime, I hope you have a great week. Cheers. Hey, real quick, if you get value out of this podcast, it would mean the world to me if you would leave us a review. Also, if you want to be featured on the show, send me a recording with your name, your age, where you're from, and your question through a voice note or a video using your smartphone. Then email me the file at hello@byfiq.com. BYFIQ stands for Boosting Your Financial IQ. So once again, it's hello@byfiq.com. If selected, I'll give you a shout out and answer your question for you and the entire community. One last thing, if you want access to additional resources that will help you fast track your path to financial freedom, visit byfiq.com or download our free app in the Apple or Google Play App Store today. Thanks again.